Okay, thank you.
Hello?
Yes, Mr. Soucheret, what's up?
Where are you?
I'm at the volleyball. The first regional semifinal is about to start between Nebraska and Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And then the Gophers will meet Oregon at 3:30 or so. And that Oregon beat them early this year in September. One of only three teams to defeat the number two seeded Gophers. Mm-hmm. And they'll pack this place today.
Williams Arena?
The pavilion.
The pavilion.
They did not. Coach McCutcheon was not at all interested in moving to the bigger site. They have the home court advantage in here. This place gets extremely loud. They put 5,500 people in, and they're sitting right on top of the court, and it's quite a home court advantage.
Are the Gophers threatening to become national champions?
They got a shot.
Yep.
It is held. It is here next week at Target Center.
Mm-hmm.
So they would, that is obviously the goal. But Nebraska is defending national champion, and I think twice in the last 3 years. And they are younger than they were in the past, but they've won 10 straight coming in here. Gophers beat them twice during the year, but they'll. In all likelihood, they'll have to beat them again Saturday at 5 o'clock in order to make it to the Final Four next week.
You seem like an unlikely fan of volleyball, but you have become a fan.
I've been on it the last 10 or more years.
Yeah, I know.
Great. It's great. The arena is great. It's loud. A few too many celebrations for me. Mm-hmm. You know how when there's a hockey game and
right.
it's like 4-2 and you win?
Yeah.
You celebrate four times. Well, in volleyball, if you win in three sets, you've got 75 celebrations.
That's a lot of celebrations.
Each point requires a celebration, and then each point that you lose kind of requires a coming together to lament that only briefly to get fired up for the next point.
I know a very tall young man who plays high school volleyball in the Chicago area.
The boys volleyball's got to be something.
Let me finish my thought. He might as well be playing on a football team for the kind of instructions they get. You know, the kind of hectoring from coaches and what I'm trying to say is it's a real serious deal.
Oh yes, and I got to say, they have a kid here who's now a senior, a setter. You know, Samantha Seliger-Swenson, she's the Big Ten Player of the Year. She's an All-American. She might be the National Player of the Year, which would be unusual because it's usually the hitters that are the National Players of the Year. But she, watching her for 4 years, has allowed me to finally appreciate how this thing is all choreographed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just people hoping aimlessly to get the ball over the net.
Right. It's not like the family volleyball game at the picnic, right?
No, where you're just trying to stand there with two hands and hope you woof it over the net.
You mean you're starting to see a plan?
Yeah, they got a kid named Alexis Hart. She's only 6 foot tall, which is way short in the modern game
mm-hmm.
for a hitter, for somebody who plays across the front. And she's got a vertical of, I believe, 34 inches. You should see this kid
wow.
jump. And, I mean, that's what they got. They got 6 foot four gals that can just jump and hit the ball, and it's terrific. And Minnesota is a volleyball hotbed. Concordia St. Paul had won, seven in a row or something?
Yeah, Rebelke,
in D2, and they could go into the Big Ten and not finish last. And Southwest State has a kid from Minneota, Minnesota, who's the National Player of the Year in Division II, and could have been a Division I player in 150 schools. The other thing is, this isn't like winning the women's hockey championship when there's 35 schools, or even the men's with 60. Over 300 schools play Division I volleyball. So
mm-hmm.
this is, it's kind of their winter fall version of basketball. You know?
Well, the kid I'm talking about, the Chicago kid, he's 6'6".
6'6"? Mm-hmm. And is he the tallest guy on the team?
I believe so.
Okay.
I believe
so. How's he doing with the athleticism required?
That part he's got down, but the coach tells him, I'm not going to use his name, but he says, kid, your only problem is you, meaning he's not terribly aggressive.
Okay. Well,
but they can't let him go because he's too damn big.
Well, and here's the deal. You got to be aggressive because it moves fast. In 1992, I was out in California. I got lucky and spent a couple of days with Oscar De La Hoya before he went and fought in Barcelona. And I was doing pre-Olympic stuff out there. Got to sit out with Mark Spitz for a night. And I went to see the men's volleyball practice at Balboa Park in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And this is June, I think, and it's hotter than hell in there. And these guys are all in their Speedos and bare chest, you know, and they're all 6'5" and rippled, and they're playing a scrimmage that's like trying to kill each other.
Right. It's amazing. Yeah.
It's a great sport. It's fantastic. And I just ran into Deborah Robbie, Deborah Olson, and she was telling me how she used to play volleyball, and she was 5'6", and she was one of the tall girls, mm-hmm. and they'd hit it over the net and be very happy, and now they got this going. So and the other thing, we had a story today. They've actually sold over 3,000 season tickets for this. A couple of years ago, they'd only sold about 1,000, but people are finding it hard to get into the pavilion, so they're buying season tickets. So it's one of the few. If you're a scalper for University of Minnesota sports, this is the only sport you can make money at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, football, men's hockey, basketball. There's more seats than you can imagine. But this place, there are actually hot tickets, and a lot of Nebraska people here, so they must have scalped their tickets to get in.
The Gophers have drawn that enviable oil change bowl or quick lane change or whatever the hell it is.
I think it's after Christmas, right? That's
I think
key.
It's the day after Christmas.
In fact,
when you play one before Christmas, that's not good.
You
got to play it. Yes.
I was just going to say, Pat, to tell Joe that we were making arrangements, travel arrangements, to drive to the
right.
Quick Lane Bowl this year I did the last time the Gophers were in that vaunted bowl game.
Are you really going to that, Reavers?
No, I'm going to miss it this year, I think.
Well, this is a hell of a lot better game than the one you went to last time. They were 5-7 playing Central Michigan.
Is that when you had a spot? Yeah.
At least they're playing somebody that we've heard of, Georgia Tech, for goodness sakes.
Well, the last time I went, I was still producing your show, and I did it on my way back, clearly just to agitate you to stop at that game.
You succeeded because you drove to Buffalo for a football game, which causes mental illness. By the way, Joe, have you followed up on last week's controversy about Richard Rice?
Well, numerous sources, including chief offsite correspondent Kelsey, have provided written material that corroborates the whole damn story.
Corroborates that it was not a scam.
No.
That indeed these were the documents found by the three fishermen.
Right.
And so here's the deal.
You want your money.
I want my money. It was a $10,000 reward. There's no evidence. Somebody in the family, the old man, would have mentioned it to if he ever got his $3,333.33,
right?
As one-third share,
right?
So we never got that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's $150,000 today, right?
At least.
Not the $10,000. So the way I got it figured, the feds owe us $50,000, right?
At least,
right off the
Richard's,
top.
Richard's heirs. And then I was thinking... additional damages, the pain and suffering of having spent a week questioning my father's ethics. I should get 25 grand for that.
That's emotional distress.
Yes, it is. I'll take 75, then I get 25, my brother gets 25, and my my late sister's heirs get 25.
I think that's only reasonable.
I think it's only the way work. You know, what are we? 21 trillion in debt. They can give me. They can give me 75,000.
Nothing.
21 trillion. 75,000.
Yeah. That's right.
You like your Vikings at Seattle Monday night?
No, I don't.
I don't either.
Seattle is. I was assuring myself they were going to win one of these two on the road, but as poorly as they played at New England, and Seattle being a physical team, I don't have much hope for them. I don't know. Then they'll be 6-6. What will they be, Reavers? Then
6-6-1 if they lose on
but
Monday
night.
But
they should win the last three. I mean, it comes down to it'll probably come down to playing the Bears in the last game at the Ziggy.
Not only are you facing a good foe, but of course, when you go to Seattle, you have to play against the 12th man.
12th man, that's true. That's
it is a house of horrors there to try to play there. Those are very rabid fans.
Yes, for an outdoors they do, and there's a 50% chance it'll be raining too.
Mm-hmm.
But did you see who's now running the Seattle NHL effort?
I caught the name of the owner, and I don't know who's
Todd Lywicki.
Oh, Lywicki, all right.
Who came up with the state was in on coming up with the state of hockey,
mm-hmm.
and then he went to Seattle and made it the state of football,
mm-hmm.
and made Washington. They got helmets for every high school. And then he went to Tampa to work with the hockey team down there. He was involved in a sale, I guess. And then he went to the NFL office, and a lot of people thought he was going to perhaps be Goodell's successor, and then Goodell got the new five-year deal. So now he went out to Seattle, I think, 6 months ago or so, and now he's leading that. So the question is, will he try to steal the state of hockey and call the state of Washington the state of hockey?
I can't imagine that he would, because they probably don't even play high school hockey in Washington.
No, they have a famous junior team out there that's been playing in the Western Canadian League for a long time. I think it's the Thunderbirds. But
I think I got it. The port of hockey.
Yeah, the port.
The port of hockey.
He'll come up with some. He'll have some. All I know is he'll have some little dweeb coming out planting a flag before the game, and for some reason. Right?
If Vegas was the template for a new club, what in God's name will Seattle have to do?
Don't worry, this Lywicki sharp. He'll come up with some stuff, man.
What'd they pay?
$650. They're paying.
Wow!
But they have the same rules for expansion as Vegas. In other words, they're going to get good players.
They'll be a good team right off the bat.
Wow.
Yeah, and they'll be in our conference now. Well, what did they say? They're going to move Arizona
to the Central
to where the Wild are. Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Seattle will take Arizona's place.
I'd be a lot happier if they moved Arizona to Quebec. Hamilton.
I don't know what they're down there beating their head. But here's the problem. They could have moved Arizona to Seattle, but they wouldn't have gotten $650 million.
That's right.
They want the money. Bettman wants the money. So $650 and $500 and the league probably keeps 10% or something. That's, our guy Craig here is put $70-80 million in his pocket.
That's right.
Expansion.
So you know what that means? We're going to get 6 months of panic, Judd. Of who are the Wild going to protect?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, there's no. They lost last night. Got shut out. We got panic, Judd, coming up at 3:00.
Yeah. I'll talk to you next week, sir.
All right. I want my money.
If not sooner, I want you to have your money.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. And we'll be back. I'm going to have to get to it. Boys, we have to.
Oh, really? We're closing in, and it just...
It's one of the great examples of the failed academy.
Joe Souchere here for Federated Insurance. I'm not a math guy, but there's some numbers you need to know. 2,440,000 injured and 35,092 dead on our nation's highways. Those are National Safety Council numbers from 2015. Federated Insurance reminds us that these are much more than statistics. These are family members, friends, and neighbors. Distracted driving continues to be an epidemic, but unfortunately, it's not the only only factor. It could happen like this. A driver passes the same vehicle several times. With frustration mounting, the driver passes the vehicle again but loses control while trying to change lanes. The vehicle rolls several times, killing the driver, two other passengers, and injuring three others. Ask yourself, do you get anxious when you drive? Do you yell or honk at other drivers that make you angry? Do you retaliate to get even? The National Safety Council reports that aggressive driving plays a role in 56% of fatal crashes. Don't become a statistic. At Federated Mutual Insurance Company, it's their business to protect yours. Please make it home safely today.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And he feels fine. Joe Soucheray.
I don't feel fine. Hey, before I get to it, let's go back to that Rachel Rollins for a moment. The Massachusetts district attorney who wants to forgive many what she believes to be lesser crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it reasonable of a garage logician to ask, well, then how far are we away from you forgiving a bank robbery?
Right, at a certain level. Maybe if it's under $100, if you rob a convenience store, that's lesser charges.
Maybe we get to the point where, well, the first step would be, maybe we'll get to the point where it's okay if you just wound someone when you shoot them. Which would be a springboard to saying, well, it's okay that you murdered them. You must have had a good reason. This is the postmodern failed academy. And look at who's supporting her. The academy, the professor at Northeastern, for example. But if you want to take the cake for power washing, I happen to have it.
I know you have to.
That's very close to home, too.
I know you have to do this. People are going to be shocked.
Eric Sprankle, an associate professor of clinical psychology and sexuality studies at Minnesota State Mankato.
No.
That's your alma, bruh.
Look at, I'm wearing the sweatshirt today.
Gross.
Tweeted that he wasn't quite sure if the Virgin Mary had given consent when an angel came down from the heavens and told her that she would conceive the Christ child. On Monday, Sprankle wrote, the virgin birth story is all about an all-knowing, all-powerful deity impregnating a human teen. There is no definition of consent that would include that scenario. Happy holidays. Which I take it to mean, by saying happy holidays, he's being ironic, meaning there's nothing to celebrate here. When a Twitter user who seemed to have at least a working knowledge of the Bible called Sprankle out and said that the Virgin Mary did indeed okay the plan, Sprankle responded by calling God's plan an unethical abuse of power at best and grossly predatory at worst. The user wrote, Luke 26:38 states clearly that the angel communicated God's plan for Mary, and in verse 38 she agreed, whether you believe or disbelieve, it helps if you actually read the text.
Huh.
Sprankle responded, we called him. He doesn't have the balls to call us.
No.
I heard a great saying. It's tough to win an argument when you're arguing with an intelligent person. It's impossible to win an argument when you're arguing with someone stupid. And I would put him in that category.
Okay.
He'd be tough to win an argument against. It's tough to win arguments against the stupid.
Got it.
You see it all the time in the club. You can't win an argument with them because they don't care about facts. Sprankle responded, the biblical God regularly punished disobedience. The power difference, deity versus mortal, and the potential for violence for saying no negates her yes. To put someone in this position is an unethical abuse of power at best and grossly predatory. The user's remark must have stuck in Sprankle's craw because he later retweeted the user's sentiments and mockingly added another set of sentiments. I'd never force you to be in a relationship with me, but I will destroy you and everyone you love if you aren't, Sprankle maliciously paraphrased. I guess suggesting that must have been God's position. As Mark Stein said, this guy sounds like a drunk, an undergrad about 50 years ago, drunk at 3 a.m. He's an associate professor, a clinical psychologist, certified sex therapist. One of the things I was going to ask him is if he has children, and if so, did he seek permission before engaging in the kind of activity that might result in a child?
How do you get to this level?
Well, you got to go to
and
school.
And you're teaching
you
now.
You got to go to school.
This is my school.
Great garage logician and a vet, Barry Shalkley, said, well, where's the media regarding this? If he said something equivalent about Islam, he would be crucified and quartered by the media. This guy's power washing God.
It's like at the highest
level. Am I right?
Yes. This is the highest. He's saying God took advantage of someone.
I guess he shares a satanic symbolism on his Twitter page, but I don't know how to go to his Twitter page, so I don't know if that's true or not.
What is his name?
Eric Sprankle.
I'm on his Twitter account.
Oh. Sprankle with a K.
Boy.
As near as I've always understood it, Mary was on board with this operation.
Yes. She had a little concern at first.
I didn't know that she was a teen. I don't know where he gets that. I don't know how old she was supposed to have been. Sprankle is public with his anti-religious views and endorses secularism in his Twitter biography. Earlier in December, he tweeted a photo of a toy Christmas elf with his arm around a statue of what appears to be Baphomet, an occult depiction of an entity regularly associated with Satanism, according to the Church of Satan's website. Sprankle also decorated his Christmas tree with satanic decor, as shown in another tweet he sent this past weekend. Campus Reform emailed Dr. Sprankle and called his office at the university, but did not receive a response in time for publication. Minnesota State University Mankato did not respond in time, nor has Dr. Sprankle responded to us. And you know damn well, living in Minnesota, he must have heard of us at least peripherally.
Yes.
So he's not going to call. He doesn't have the courage. He doesn't have the courage to call.
If it makes both of you feel any better, because
nothing's going to make me feel better about this.
It certainly does for me. I looked through about 1,000 different responses to this.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of them is in support of this clown.
Mm-hmm.
So that at least gives me a little bit of hope. But my God, how can you be that stupid? Dr. Sprankle.
Under what possible dynamic could he have a functioning sex life with his wife? I looked it up. He's married. And I'll explain what I mean by that.
Overthinking things or what?
Well, no, I'll explain what I mean by that. He appears to be accusing God of a power force intending to what Sprankle is suggesting is that if Mary had not consented, she would have been punished, which isn't what God was up to. He's got that part wrong. So what I mean by him in his own life, how could he possibly have a meaningful sexual relationship with his wife? He as the male, he would have to view himself as a patriarchal power figure, and therefore any relations would have threatened her with punishment in the case she refused.
I think
I guess if she refused, he would back off. Maybe that's what he would say. I have no idea. But in the unlikely event this turd called back, I shouldn't name call. It doesn't get us anywhere. In the unlikely event, Dr. Sprankle, would have called back, the only way I thought of trying to have a conversation with what he meant is, how do you relate this to your own life?
And why would it even come up as a topic? How would that? I mean, we've known this story our whole lives.
He's just among the crowd that says it's all made up BS.
Is he trying to be too clever?
Well, he's too clever by half, believe me. I had his bio here.
But you know what? When you get caught up being a literalist rather than a contextualist, then you get into trouble. It doesn't need to be answered.
His areas of well, that's because you have faith. His areas of interest include understanding sex work stigma and barriers to sex workers' rights, conducting needs assessments for various sectors of the sex industry in Minneapolis, and combating moral panics and sexuality, meaning sex trafficking and sex addiction. He apparently has a keen interest in the lives of sex workers.
Okay.
All right. Somebody has to, huh?
Right. Meaning he's trying to help them out, or what is he?
Well, he might be very well concerned for the plight of sex workers. But what he's accusing God of is unfairness. Well,
is God saying, if you don't follow me?
He probably doesn't even believe in God. So how can he assign to God his human the human characteristics that Sprankle is wishing to assign him? He apparently doesn't believe in him if he's into this Satanism BS. Why would he then, I guess maybe as a follower of Satan, oh, he believes it's fair game for him to ridicule God.
If we are to get Dr. Sprankle on.
No, this was his one chance. Bleep this guy.
No, my point is if we get him on, we're bumping back to open the segment with, baby, it's cold outside. I'm making that call right
even
now.
Even if it violates FCC
don't care.
Rules.
Right. Don't
yeah,
care.
I'll pay the fine.
Right.
The virgin birth story is about an all-knowing, all-powerful deity impregnating a human teen. There is no definition of consent that would include that scenario. Consent was not required. This right. this was an act of God.
A miracle.
Yeah. It was an act of God. This was an act of God.
A miracle.
Yeah. It was an act of God. And this fellow.
Yeah. I guess struggling with that.
I'm really struggling. I would not have won an argument with him. You can't win an argument against stupidity.
No, because he would have probably gone off the wall and
well, he could have thrown his academic BS at me, and you can't win an argument against stupidity.
And here I got excited. I woke up. I threw on my Mankato State sweatshirt.
I'd burn that if I were
because of the big football game tomorrow, and then this Dr. Sprankle ruins it.
Mm-hmm. But I'll save this one. This is the ultimate example of power washing. This guy has power washed God.
Wow.
He has power washed the Virgin Mary.
It's going to be tough.
He has power washed my namesake, Joe the Carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
He's power washed God, and he's power washed the infant Jesus. He's power washed the whole lot of
them. Does he get fanfare for that?
Well, I think he might get a bonus.
It's like a quadruple whammy.
You know,
is
in the academy, he might get a little extra check under the tree if they got a tree.
But applying...
How did he find the woman he married? That must be a hell of a couple. She must be on board with this guy.
Maybe she into it. I don't know.
I don't know.
But I think when you apply modern day... What is it? Modern day... It's not characteristics or...
He strikes me as a member of the failed academy in the sense that he is going to apply what he believes to be a relative truth to a situation that he finds comical because in his mind it couldn't possibly have happened. And so therefore what he's going to suggest is he's going to bring us back to the Me Too movement and say, look, even in this case, this young woman named Mary did not provide consent to be impregnated. So he's applying a completely modern sensibility to a biblical dynamic that did not require consent. There was no...
Right.
God's the guy. If he says, hey,
this is how it's going to go down.
You want to do me a little favor here, right. Young lady? And she says, well, considering that you sent an angel to require this or ask this.
That gives you the street creds.
I think.
I'm listening.
I'll get on the mule and Joe and I'll go try to find room at the inn and whatever you want there, buddy. Yeah.
Sorry, there's no room at the inn.
Mm-hmm.
But how about a beer?
How about a beer? Tell that story again.
Oh, I'm going to find it. I'm gonna find it.
But it was a caller told us what, the grandkid or something forgot his lines in the play?
Yeah, well, he was to be the innkeeper.
Right.
That's
and
right.
He was the innkeeper for the birth of Jesus.
The play, the Christmas pageant.
But he also had some trouble with his role because he had to turn down Joseph and Mary and the future, you know, Savior Jesus Christ, who were arrived at the stable. And as they,
oh, they
said,
arrived at the inn.
At the inn and said, hey, you got a place for us? And he said, I'm sorry, but there's no room at the inn. And then offered them, you know, but how about a beer? You know, he tried to pick it up a little bit.
He tried to save himself.
Yes, yes.
Because he felt bad.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great.
This guy had his chance. If Sprinkle calls back, screw him. The hell with him. I don't want anything to do with him.
I even framed it. You heard me place the voicemail. I said, hey, I'm an alum.
Yeah.
I want to offer you the opportunity to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And Sprinkle didn't get back to us.
He also believes, incorrectly, that... Because he doesn't even say God. He says the deity, but it's God. He believes that God would create violence for a subject who would say no to him. And he believes then that God, this is so amazingly preposterous, I can't believe we're discussing this idiot. God then used his power unethically. Well, but God wouldn't do that.
He would not do that.
No.
No way in heck. But that's what bothers me is then he gets this publicity for being an idiot, and I'm sure most people aren't buying what he's saying.
He's going to have his back slapped, Matt. He's gonna say, that a boy, Sprinkles, all around the failed academy. They've all... The academy has failed because they've adopted postmodern thinking. There's no this guy. It doesn't even occur to this guy that he's calling God wrong, because to this guy there is no right and wrong. Except when it's convenient
right,
for him
right.
to point out that it was wrong of God to not seek consent. But he's wrong there factually, because an angel came and said, look, we got a deal for you here. You know, I mean, it's,
right.
we're asking you, you know, a tough deal, but will you handle it? And she said, yeah. And then he throws in Happy Holidays.
It used to be a great country, wasn't it?
It used to be one hell of a country. I can't say Mankato State ever used to be one hell of a school.
Hey.
Well, what'd you get your degree in? Well, just stay with me here. What'd you get your degree in?
You're going to find the show, accounting.
Mm-hmm. Where are you now?
On your podcast.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm really happy about that, huh?
Here we are. Yeah, but the other half of my household used her degree.
Was that also Mankato
yes.
State?
Her undergraduate, then she got her master's elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. I found it.
I have just had emailed to me by Mary Langfeld. Hands down, nothing will top this one.
Really?
Nothing will top this. I don't care if we're on the air the next for at least two more years.
Well,
two.
Or ten.
Hey. Ten.
Nothing will top this. Heard you two talking about pageants and thought you might like this story. My sister attended a Christmas show in which a friend's child was playing the innkeeper. You paying attention?
Innkeeper, the friend's child.
He didn't like playing the bad guy, turning Mary and Joseph away. The night of the performance, his moment came, and he reluctantly told Mary and Joseph that he had no room in the inn. But then he paused and said, but how about a beer? Give the kid the fanfare. Give him everything you got. Give him the.
What a sharp kid.
Thank you. First he says.
I'm sorry, man.
Yeah. Then he says.
No, then he says.
Grab a brew. Don't cost nothing.
Oh, man, the poor kid was
that is
fantastic.
Didn't want to be the bad guy.
No.
Says, hey, hey, I got no room. But look, how about a beer?
Oh, what I wanted. I wish I could have seen what Joseph said at
That's
that point.
That's wonderful.
Joseph said, hey, you got two?
Sure, he's
fine.
Fine
on Joe.
Cold night in December.
What are you
going
to do? What do you got? Let's have one. Let's have one. You got one in a Go Cup?
What do you
Wouldn't
got?
It be great if the guys playing Mary and Joseph, the guy and the gal, got into it and said, what do you got? And Mary said, Joseph, you know you can't control that donkey if you've had a few.
Right.
It's a little close to home.
I'll have to drive the mule.
Oh,
Mary, I'm going to give you the keys.
Can you imagine the crowd?
That had to
if
be.
If somebody had a videotape of that would be funny to watch.
That had to be. That crowd had to go nuts.
You know, I'm sorry. We got no room at the end.
Well, look, I got a little Sam Adams on tap. How about
I got to give Mary the keys to the donkey.
I'll drive the donkey.
You know you
the
can't
mule.
Drive
the
mule. Can't, Joe, you can't drive that thing after a few. You know you can't.
Well, that reminds me of what has to be my second favorite Christmas pageant story, which I've told you many times, but we're getting to that season now where the schools are probably putting these on.
And it was my longtime buddy, and his daughter and my daughter were both, I suppose, about second or third grade.
Yeah.
And neither of them had very significant roles in the production, but his daughter, at a certain cue, was to bang a xylophone.
Oh.
Just boom.
Okay.
Once.
Yeah.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she did, and he was about six people away from me in the same pew, and he got my attention, and he pointed to her and said, never took a lesson.
Not once.
Never. And she's starring in the pageant.
Oh, my God.
Well, thank you. That was a long time ago for that pageant.
Happy holidays, according to Dr. Sprinkle. Happy holidays.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. What holiday would he be celebrating?
You know what? Isn't it funny? I'm sure
he can't.
I'm sure on the 25th, he's probably not going into work. I'm sure there's a break at the.
Well, and even on his Twitter account, he has the elf on the shelf, and he's got all the Santa decorations. He's got
all
that.
Why are we opposed to the elf on the shelf?
Well, I'm saying he celebrates Christmas. If
he
that's
does,
if that's what your question was,
I doubt if he does.
Wow, you don't get to pick and choose.
No,
you're either all in or you're all out. Huh?
I think so.
I don't know what you're saying.
Don't forget to register for the summit party, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, December 21st. Speaking of celebration,
do I have time to read you an email about that?
Sure.
Listening to today's podcast, meaning yesterday's. This is from Bill. You mentioned the We'll Be at Summit Brewery on the 21st. It occurs to me that the first day of GL Spring, being on a Friday and being recorded at such an apropos location, note I didn't say appropriate,
right.
Perhaps you should consider some sort of special springtime celebration akin to the much-anticipated garage door opener, which occurs on the first 70-degree Friday of the year in GL. I'm talking parades, fire trucks, sirens, fireworks, the whole bit. Let's face it, GLers could use a celebration to glimpse the days of longer sunlight ahead. Merry Christmas and happy spring to GLers all across this magnificent globe. Well, you know damn well we could get the Vulcans to show up.
Hail
fire
the Vulc!
Truck.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll put the call out.
Make sure you go to either the Garage Logic Facebook page or the Twitter account and register. It just takes a couple of seconds. And we're going to be drawing those people a week from this Friday.
And Tanucci's going to bring out some apps
and
a couple Tanucci's of light
bites. Yeah,
Tanucci's
going to bring some apps to go with that fantastic Summit beer. You get a lot of free swag.
I hope
Summit.
Dr. Sprinkle shows up.
Come on,
my
Doc.
God. Come on, Sprinks.
Dr. Sprinkle.
Come on, Sprinkle. Show up. Show up and account for yourself.
Rate us at garagelogic.com and check out the garagelogic.com webpage for more information. You're one click away from more Garage Logic.
Why pay more for a separate CoQ10 supplement? Enjoy twice the benefits with SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced from the number one doctor, pharmacist, and cardiologist recommended beet brand for heart health support. The new SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced by Human is now infused with CoQ10. That's essentially like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, And CoQ10 ingredients support nitric oxide production, healthy blood pressure, healthy CoQ10 levels, and heart-healthy energy with two tasty chews a day. Plus, Superbeats Heart Chews Advance are plant-based, so you get heart-healthy energy without stimulants. For a limited time, get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Heart Chews on all bundles and 15% off your first order by going to radiobeats.com and using promo code DEAL. That's radiobeats.com, code DEAL.